It's nice to be with you in McKeesport. It's my first time here. Some of you I've known from the past, some I know, and some of you I've never met. So I do hope to meet you by the end of the weekend at least, and please forgive me if I forget your names. Sometimes going to a new place is kind of like trying to memorize the phone book all at once. It's very difficult, but I trust you'll have a little bit of patience with me. So it's nice to be here, and of course, I'd rather just keep my seat and let us keep praying, because I believe that is the most important thing we have right now for the weekend. We could come with prepared sermons, and we could come with things to say, and it would be meaningless if God isn't in it. So I trust we will even continue to be praying as the weekend progresses. I want to turn with you tonight to Genesis 22, please. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. We'll read the first 19 verses of Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass or his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And so on. I want to read verse 9. The end of verse 8 says, So they went, both of them, together. Verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Somehow I want to put this into the context of the weekend we're anticipating right now. We're looking forward to a weekend. And this cup of water is much appreciated. Thank you. I don't know what it is. I'm losing my voice. If you want to have something to pray for, please pray for my voice. I don't know if it's just a cold or if it's the devil or what, but it does need prayer for the weekend. So thank you very much for that. I want to notice with you something that strikes me about this passage, very peculiar, verse 9. Notice how verse 9 begins. And they came to the place. No, not just the place, but the place that God had told him of. They came to the place that God had told him of. Now, this is very specific. And of course, this is, as we can follow the pathway right through the storyline, because right from the very beginning in chapter, or verse 2, we read, "Take, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you of." The end of verse 3, again, he rose up and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Something very peculiar about this. He keeps naming, and in fact, in the end, the climax of the story is, when everything is said and done, he does what? He names the place. You know what's so peculiar about it? Try and go home, look up in some of your Bible atlases, and find the place. Go ahead. I challenge you. Where was this? Do you know? You say, of course I know. It was Mount Moriah. Really? Which Mount Moriah? Because the more you look into it, the more you realize that, well, in another area they talk about a Mount Moriah. It's not necessarily Mount Moriah that was this place that Abraham was on. So if for a minute, just follow my line of thinking. It's going somewhere. Just trust me. If you follow this, God is emphasizing a specific place, and yet at the same time, for some reason, he just leaves out where it is. We don't know. We can't pinpoint it on a map. We can't go there and see, oh, there's the altar. We've been looking for this for a long time. We can't find it. One of the mountains that I will tell you of. Very specific. So why was he so specific, emphasizing something and then not exactly giving us the full details? Whenever we come to places in the Bible, we're struck with four different dimensions to those places. What I want you to see tonight, what I want us all to observe tonight, is the fact that the place is not so much the geographical location as it is the experience that took place here. Now, every one of us here tonight are in a certain place in our life. It's impossible not to be. We're surrounded by circumstances, by situations in our lives, and we've come from varied backgrounds, and you might not know where I'm coming from, and I might not know where you're coming from, but we are all in a place in our lives right now, whatever that place is. And tomorrow, Lord willing, if the Lord spares us and we are meeting together under the sound of the word, we are all coming together and many others will come, all from different places in our lives. And some of those places we can look back at and they have landmarks on them, don't they? You can look back and the memories start to come back just for some reason. Well, there's some people here from Crandon, they were telling me they just saw my parents down there, and my parents had gone on a trip, and so I had the wonderful responsibility of just going in the house to make sure, you know, calm their fears, that everything's okay, you know, in the house. And I remember stepping in and going from room to room, and just the memories that come back. You know, you go in the backyard and just it hits you. You start to think of childhood and the things you did and the trouble you caused. Maybe you didn't, but all the landmarks in your life, the places you've been, and through them all you can trace. I think you can. I know you can. If you look back close enough, you'll be able to trace the hand of God through it all. So we're all coming. We all have a different place in life. And I want you to notice there's four dimensions to every place in the Bible. Or you can ask these questions every place in the Bible. The first one is geographical. Of course, I told you that geography doesn't matter here so much as the experience, but it is the foundation of the place. We know some things geographically about this place. What do we know? We know it was on a mountain. We know that much. We know there was at least one bush on that mountain. And we also know that it was a long way from Abraham's home. We know that too. It's a long ways away. Geographical. We can always ask, first of all, where is this place? The second question is more temporal or historical, if you want to put in those terms. And it's, when did this happen? This happened at a specific point in Abraham's life. This happened at a specific point in the history of Genesis. This happened in a specific point in the history of redemption in the Bible. And it is all very, very specific. When did it happen? And so as we read into the text, or not read into the text, but when we read in the text, pardon me, I'm not trying to put things into the text just to calm your fears, but in verse 3, we read that Abraham rose early in the morning. When? When God spoke to him. And then we understand in verse 9, and they came to the place. There was a moment in time, a moment in history when they came here. The third thing is, so we got geography, we've got time. The third thing is the experience that happens in that place. This is what makes places in our lives significant, isn't it? Places where we stand. Just recently, I was thinking about this today, that just at the end of March, I stood at a grave of a young man who was in my Sunday school class, and his parents are very close friends, and the tragedy behind his death is extreme. And it was the first funeral that I've ever spoken at, and it's been a year coming back to that place, very significant. And recognizing there's an experience that surrounds that, that hurts very much. And so we all are in a place that is filled with experience. The third one, or the fourth one, pardon me, is very personal, and that is who is at this place. Every experience, every location that we find ourselves in, every situation involves people, involves persons. And so we have it very clearly. Abraham stretched out his knife, took the knife to slay his son, Abraham, Isaac, and the angel of the Lord called from heaven. And then he turns and he sees one more very important character in the story, the lamb. Now, I want to just bring this down to a weekend like this and try to point out just how this all matters to us right now. First of all, can I just say that if you take this and you take the geography, you take the point in history, you take the experience, and you take the people involved, and you come right over into the New Testament. Very interesting. Every single gospel writer. Make sure to tell us. They don't want to leave this out. This is very important. And when they came to the place. The place called the skull. Or the place of the skull. They're emphasizing something. There's another place that is very significant to us tonight. It's not very significant in the world. In fact, if you went there to where they think it was, up above is, I believe, a Muslim graveyard or something, and you can't get there. It's very insignificant today, but to us, it is a place that has changed our entire existence. And all around it is circling these dimensions. You look into it, you'll have a wealth of worship coming out of that experience. Five things that this place, wherever it was, if you want to say, and I'm probably going to slip out of my mouth tonight and say Mount Moriah, but wherever it was, in the land of Moriah, up on this mountain, there are five things I want us to know about this place tonight. They remind us of something. And I want you to notice that when Abraham names the place in the end, he names it as a reminder of the Lord. Every time Abraham was looking back to that place, he wasn't thinking about a mountain. And he wasn't thinking about some geographical place in the world, on a globe. No, he was thinking about the Lord. The Lord revealed something about himself there. So please remember, these five points have everything to do with what the Lord is reminding us in this place. The first one is that the Lord will test. The Lord will test. And so we have in verse 1, came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Where was the place? Far from home. This test happened at a place where he was all alone. When? It was after these things. It was at a mature stage in his life. That's very important. The experience of this place, all the promises of God are on the line right now. Abraham, are you more focused on the gift or are you focused on the giver? Which one are you going to choose? Either the results of the promise or the one who made the promises, one or the other. There's a test involved. And we find out at the very end, the climax of it all, we hear the angel of the Lord saying, "Now I know. I've proved it." That was the whole purpose of this place and this experience, to prove something about Abraham. It came at the end of his life because God was not trying to test him and wondering what he would do. It came after God had prepared him for this, and now he's proving what he had done in Abraham. He's proving Abraham's character. And so when we come to a weekend like this, we have to be prepared that as we come to the Word of God, that we might be proved, that we might be tried by what it has to say. We might find ourselves this weekend under God's microscope and in God's spotlight. And we might find ourselves recognizing that there are dark corners in my heart that have not been dealt with. It might not be comfortable. There's only one reason why God does that. Why he opens up the Word to us and reveals to us who we are. It's not to condemn us. It's to raise us up. I have a friend who, every time, I don't talk to him too often, but when I do, I love to talk to him. He'll always say something like, "You know, I've just been thinking." And I know when he says that, he has been thinking and I need to be listening. And he was telling me that he had been realizing that there's a difference between true conviction and condemnation. He was realizing this, you know. Condemnation is like the eagle telling the chickens in the barn, you know, "What are you doing down there?" You see, that's condemnation because they can't. They can't rise above that. However, conviction is telling the eaglet in the middle of all those chickens, "What are you doing down there?" Because that eagle doesn't belong there. And you know why God convicts us of things? Not so that we feel miserable inside and leave feeling guilty. No, that guilt is supposed to drive us to Christ. It's supposed to draw us near to Him, to deal with whatever it is and put it behind us and move forward, rise higher in our understanding of God. So this might be a weekend in which He proves us. You know, this was true in the location of the cross. What was God doing? He was proving Himself. God proved His love toward us. He demonstrated His love. He put it on open display in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Locations of proving, of drawing out what our character truly is. Of course, the psalmist started the 139th Psalm by saying, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me." And he keeps going, and you can tell he's overwhelmed by this. Everywhere I go, my thoughts, my words, before they even come out of my mouth, You know them. You know everything about me. And it doesn't leave him in despair. You know where it leaves him? It leaves him at the end saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. I want You to know more and test me more and take out that sin from me." And so this was a place where the Lord was proving the true character of Abraham. Second thing. It was a place where the Lord proved His direction. It was a place that was marked by guidance. Specific instructions were given. And I also noticed how meticulous Abraham was in his response. That when we get up the mountain, he doesn't just, it doesn't, the narrator doesn't say, well, he put his son on the altar and was about to slay him. No, he built the altar. He arranged the wood. You can see he's going through the methodical process. He's going through every step of what God has told him to do. There was direct guidance. Abraham, how did you get here? How did you get to this place? God showed me this place. We're not here this weekend by just mere circumstance. In fact, we're never anywhere in the world by mere circumstance. No, God is working all things together for good to those that love Him. All things. That means every moment of your day, God is in it. And so the place that is marked by guidance, maybe there will be some here this weekend that need desperately, you need guidance. You need to be in a place of just to hear instruction. And maybe tonight we have to contemplate before we even show up tomorrow, are we prepared to take that instruction? Are we open to it the way that Abraham was? The third one, and I have to move very quickly now, the Lord will not forsake. Again, geography. He's 3 days away from home. This isn't the first time that Abraham has been called away from home, by the way. And it's not the first time he's been called into unfamiliar territory. But this is the first time he's been called into unfamiliar territory to give up every promise God had ever given to him. The last time, God said, come out, leave your family behind, I'll bless you. This time he says, come out, leave everything behind, I'll take your blessings away from you. And Abraham goes, then he leaves his servants behind, keeps going. So it was at least 3 days, and then some, gets up to the top of that mountain, a place he has never been before. If you've been here, you ever go on business trips, you're in the middle of nowhere, you might be in another country, no one speaks your language, or you don't speak their language, and you're in the middle of nowhere, forsaken? No, the Lord will never forsake His own. And we can be assured of this weekend. We can be assured that while we are under His Word, we are in His presence. And if there are any here tonight and you're wondering, where is He right now? He has not left you alone. And from that mountain at the peak of the intensity of this scene, as the knife is raised and His son is about to be given, He hears the voice of God. And he looks and he sees what was most important. Do you know something? Why this place was so specific and so important? And why it was so important that Abraham follow the instructions exactly and go to the exact place? Because this was the mountain where the lamb was. If he'd gone up any other mountain, there was no lamb there. This was the mountain where the lamb was. It'd be a wonderful thing to be on a mountain this weekend where the lamb is. To just get a sight of Christ. If you'll allow me just a couple of minutes to just follow on the last two points. The next one is that the Lord will reveal Himself. That's another lesson that we are learning from this place. The Lord will reveal Himself. Abraham says to his servants, you stay here. I and the lad, my son and I are going over there and we are going to worship. Do you know what that word worship means? Means they're going to bow down. It's always this word, always seems to hint at the idea that you're bowing down to someone. Someone is going to be there, and that someone is worth bowing down to. Come over to the New Testament, you find that the word that is used, proskuneo, is the word that means kissing towards, or blowing a kiss towards. And so we see this affection directed towards someone. You want to know something else that's very interesting in the New Testament? That word, proskuneo, is only used in the Gospels. It's, for the most part, other than a few Old Testament quotations, and I think that maybe two or three times it's used through the apostolic time and through the time we're in right now. And then in Revelation, it just explodes again. You know why? Because Christ is present in the Gospels. Christ is again physically present in heaven in the book of Revelation. And so it is always hinting at the idea that this is something that reveals Christ. Christ is there. He's present. He's the object. And so Abraham goes up this mountain. You know what happened? On this mountain, God revealed himself in a whole new way. Don't you get excited about thinking about things you don't know about Christ yet? Things in the Bible that you've never seen. Wouldn't it be wonderful this weekend to maybe see something that possibly you've never seen before? Something more to say, wow, this book is alive. It's holding something for me. The Lord will reveal himself. So the disciples said after the Lord broke bread with them, could you imagine sitting down to break bread and the Lord is there and all of a sudden, wow, well, he is there. And sometimes we don't recognize him, do we? And they said after the fact, they said, that's what was going on. My heart was burning. Was your heart burning? There was something going on inside. I could feel it. I was just getting warm inside. There was something going on. What was happening? He was revealing himself. Oh, this weekend would be worth it. If nothing else, it would be worth the trip. It would be worth the time. It would be worth everything just to get a sight of him. Now here's the last one. The Lord will provide. That's the climax of the story. The Lord will provide. It's interesting. He named the place. He named the place. And he didn't name the place for the place. He named the place in a way that every time someone mentioned it, he would be reminded, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, yes. Something I learned about God that I never knew before. The Lord will provide. Is he going to provide this weekend? We need more than material things. We need him. And we need to hear his voice in this place. And I trust that when we leave this weekend, we won't be remembering it just as the McKeesport Conference, but that we would be remembering it in terms of what the Lord did to us here. The Lord will provide. Yes, I remember that weekend. That was the weekend when the Lord spoke to me. Be a wonderful thing, whether young or old, that this was the weekend that the Lord spoke directly to us. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful again for a living book. We're thankful that it is your word. We are thankful that it is perfect in itself. It is a revelation of all that our God is. And we're thankful that its greatest theme, its central theme, is the person of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that he would be lifted high this weekend. We anticipate this weekend, Lord, maybe there are some who have come with heavy hearts. We pray that this would be a time in which we would hear the voice of God directly, that we would recognize again that you are indeed dwelling in us and working in our lives. We pray that we would see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So be very near to us. We pray to bless the word that has been spoken tonight. We trust that the Holy Spirit has been in it and working through it. We pray that we would not soon forget it. We ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.